everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I'm so excited today for this bonus episode in honor of snow coming out this week. Oh, I thought it would be fun to get together some of my friends and talk about our favorite sports themed movies, because that Joe Theismann is going to be guest on this guest acting, whatever, starring on this movie, Snow Coming, and it's all about football and fun stuff. So we thought it would be a lot of fun to do this, and it just kind of grew. It was very exciting. The more I thought about it, the more I was like, this is very challenging, and the more people are interested, and there's more of a crossover between Hallmarkies and sports movie fans than you would think. So it's going to be really fun to talk about. And I have an esteemed panel with me today to talk about this. First, I have Lisa from Girl Gone Hallmark here.
Hi.
Yes. And you have quite an experience with sports yourself, right?
I do. I'm tired just thinking about it. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Then we have our good friend Georgia, co-host of the podcast. Yeah. You're a big sports fan.
Sports, correct? Mostly baseball, but yes, I love them, and I love a good sports movie.
Yes. And then we have Sam from Hallmark Hubby is here to talk about this.
Hello, everybody.
Yes. So you famously gave up watching sports for your wife and for Hallmark.
Correct? I did.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean I can't enjoy the good sports movie.
That's right. This is perfect. So, all right. Well, first, I wanted to say I didn't include any documentaries on my list, but I do think that there are some amazing sports documentaries that are definitely worth checking out. Hoop Dreams was very influential for me. Amazing film where the Steve James followed these two boys. This was released in 1994. They followed them for 7 years, and it's really the story about their families, and basketball is just sort of the tool that tells the story. And I think there's a lot of good sports documentaries in that. ESPN has their 30 for 30 series that are so good. Even if you dislike sports, you could like this series because it's all about people and their lives, and excellent. I really loved a movie in 2017 called Step. It was a really great movie about this dance team in Baltimore, and it really focused on all of the girls and their drive to finish to go to college. And it was very inspirational, and I loved it. And so anyway, check out some sports documentaries, but that's why they're not on my list. You have to narrow it down somehow. But yeah, we each came up with a top five, and this is very difficult. I had something like 30 films that I was like weighing and debating about. Yeah. And I know it was difficult for all of you as well. So, yeah, what do you think, Lisa, makes a good sports movie?
Well, I'm more of a comedy
side
of it, because you have your comedy and your dramatics. Now, in the dramatics, you know, I just like a good underdog story, you know, something that gets my tear ducts flowing by the end because, you know, they're going to win. You're like, oh, my God. But on the comedy side of it, I just, you know, being in – sports for as long as I was, I like to see poking fun at the everydayness of it and just how ridiculous it all is sometimes. So that's what I like about them.
What about you, Georgia? What do you like in a sports movie?
I mean, I get the comedy thing. I do. I prefer comedy overall, but in sports movies, I like to cry. And that's just pretty much the point of it, is I'm going to watch it and I'm going to cry and I'm going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe they won, or I can't believe they didn't win. Which sometimes happens, but you're still sitting there sobbing. And so to me, it's all about the heart. It's an underdog story is a lot of it, but you know, it just has to connect. It's about the people more than the sports, but the sports are the vehicle for the, you know, of course. But yeah, as long as it makes me cry, I'm good.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
I think that's good. The underdog story, and also just sort of the way it draws you into the people, and because even if you know the ending, because a lot of these things we do know the ending, because mm-hmm. they're true stories, how they're able to draw you into the people in their story. What do you think, Sam? What do you think works for you in a sports movie?
Well, I agree with Georgia on a lot of it. You know, it's kind of like that whole saying, you know, the teamwork makes the dream work. You know, watching the, you know, before the big game, how all these people, you know, have separate lives, get together to be successful and stuff.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And I like a good cry.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, so I'm going to start. My number five is one that probably none of you have seen, but I thought I would give it a shout out because I love to swim. In particular, I love open water swimming. And this is, it's not a very cinematic sport, swimming, because you're under the water and it's hard to like make it interesting because I don't know, it's just tough. But there's a sweet little movie that I enjoy a lot called On a Clear Day. And this is a movie about, it's a true story about this 55-year-old man named Frank in Glasgow. He's a shipbuilder. He's just sort of lived his life day to day. And, you know, just he's kind of just accepted his marriage, like, and not really worked very hard at it. He lost a son. And that was devastating, obviously. But he's just gone to work every day, punched his card, kind of not very, you know, sort of exciting life, I guess. And then he ends up getting laid off by this place he's worked his whole life. And he just causes him to kind of go down the spiral. And so he decides he's going to swim the English Channel. And what makes the movie work so well is not only him swimming the English Channel and finding his goal, is that him and all of it, it becomes this team effort, which is really true for open water swimming, and I assume for marathon running and other types of goals. It really ends up becoming sort of a team effort that you all kind of, you need all of that help or sort of support you in all the practices and all the training, and when you're feeling like you can't do it. And so that's what's really fun. His whole group of friends and him and his wife like go through so much in the story. Brenda Blethyn plays his wife, and she's an amazing actress. And it's just really sweet and really heartwarming. And as he swims, he kind of is able to finally get over his, or not get over, but deal with his grief in a way he hadn't before, which is very moving. And I just really like it. I think it's very, I guess, underrated and underseen. And so you should check it out. So that's my number five.
I've actually seen the previews to that. And I'm like, so you said you were like, and he worked as a, like a blue collar worker, and then he decides to, I was like, oh, I've seen the trailers to that.
So I'm going to put that on my list. You should see it. Let me know what you think if you're going to see it. So Lisa, what is your number five?
My number five is a little hockey movie called Goon.
Ah.
I don't know if anybody's watched that one. It's got Sean William Scott as the titular role of Goon. It's got Lee Schreiber in it, Eugene Levy. I mean, it's got some heavy hitters, so I enjoy a good... Oh, it's got Jay... how do you pronounce his last name? Jay Bukel? Brara. You know. Yes. So, close enough.
This is not Hallmark approved, correct?
No, none of them on my list. I'm going to go ahead and say none of them on my list approved.
This FYI. Is the bonus podcast, remember, guys.
Yeah, so anything that comes off my list, no, it's not Hallmark approved. But basically, it's Sean William Scott plays a bouncer in a club, and eventually he gets lured into playing, like, beer league hockey, and then eventually being the enforcer. I don't know if you guys are familiar with hockey, but there's, like, an enforcer role. There's usually a big dude where if penalties come up, they go and do the fights. Used to be a lot more prevalent. They've toned it down a little bit, but the role is still there either way. So since he was a bouncer, they see that he can fight. They bring him into this beer league. He can fight, and they send him to another team to protect a once, like, this one guy This one player used to be on his way to the NHL, suffered a really big injury from another enforcer. And so they bring in Sean William Scott to protect him. And eventually it culminates in one big brawl out on the ice between the both enforcers. And it's all crazy. And yeah, it's good.
Awesome. Love it. Yeah. All right. Georgia, what's your number five?
Okay. So I did not do documentaries because I didn't think of them. But if I had just like basically every World Series film for the Red Sox, which is not something I really thought would be appropriate anyway. But Rachel gave me permission to do two lists. So I have a TV movie list, which is honestly just Disney Channel movies, and then theatrical lists. So I also have honorable mentions, but I'm just going to toss those out there. So for the Disney Channel movie, my number five is a movie called Go Figure, which is about hockey and figure skating. And it's about a girl named Caitlin, who is a figure skater, but she can only train with this really awesome trainer if she goes to the school on a hockey scholarship, because they have a spot open on the hockey team. So she has to go learn how to play hockey, and the hockey girls are all mean to her because they, well, they're not mean to her, but they're mean to figure skaters because they think that that's like a girly sport, not a cool sport. And so the whole movie is about them finding out that they're more alike than they are different, of course. And she has to learn that she can play hockey. She's tough too, but also figure skating is really incredibly challenging. And the hockey players learn that in the end. And they have play a big championship game that, spoiler alert, they actually lose because they were not prepared. And it was like, they didn't put her in. I haven't seen it in years, but it was so intense. And you go, oh my gosh, you guys lost. And then she, I think, ends up winning her actual individual event. But there's a whole part at the end where she has to choose between the game and her little individual thing. What would you call it? Performance, not performance.
Yeah.
The figure skating. Yeah. And so she has to choose, and she chooses the game, and then she loses, and then they're like, oh my God, we have to get you there. So they get her there, and she falls, and then they do a whole like 5 minute long chant, I'm not kidding, where everyone says, let her skate, for the longest time. And it's like burned in my brain, which is why I had to pick it, because it's so, it just sticks with you. But I love that movie. It's not like the best movie, but I love that movie so much. So
very good.
I think it's on demand. You can watch it. And then my theatrical release is Moneyball, which I know people say is not a sports movie, which is weird.
It totally is.
I don't get how you can say
it's a sports movie. Yeah.
Right?
It's a sports movie.
It totally is. It's about, you guys know, Billy Beane and Sabermetrics and the Oakland A's. And he's trying to put a whole team together based on numbers and not on who plays what position. So he throws guys in there who've never played first base before. And it's just, you watch it and you get chills because it's so incredibly, if you love baseball, it's so incredibly moving to watch it. And I love that movie so much. Brad Pitt does a really good job, which I don't always say, but he did a really good job. Right?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I'm like, oh, it's so pretty, so whatever. It's like distracting, but I wasn't distracted. It was fine.
Yeah, I thought about including Jerry Maguire because it's kind of similar. It's like more behind the scenes of sports rather than sports. So, but you know, it's a gray area. But I think you totally made your case for that one. And but yeah, you guys should check it out.
A lot of it takes place on the field, and they're doing games in the whole thing, and they end up at Fenway at the end. So
that is true. Whereas there isn't that Jerry Maguire. There's nothing really on the field.
Exactly.
So that's
they have it when he gets hurt on the field. They do have things on the field, and it's very true. Very frustrating as a former athletic trainer to watch those athletic trainers run out and snap at him like this, wake up.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, 4 years of college never taught me to go wake up.
Maybe you didn't learn everything, Lisa.
Yeah,
you've been doing it wrong all these years. All right, Sam, what's your number five?
My number five is also a hockey movie by Disney called Miracle with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
It's he plays Herb Brooks, who is the coach of the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team where they take on Russia. So it's a bunch of college hockey players, you know, getting ready to take on a bunch of pros. And good movie. The crazy thing, which I'm sure you guys know this, is that that wasn't even the gold medal game. It was
right.
It was the game leading up to the gold medal game. But it was just, I cried, just to let you know. Yeah. It got me right in the feels. And it was just a great movie. I don't know what to say about it. Just,
yeah.
We won the gold.
It's so good. I mean, they do such a good job. Since you know what's going to happen, we all know it's so iconic, but they do a really good job of it being still drawing you in. You're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
I mean, I was only 3 whenever it came out, whenever it actually happened and stuff, but I guess it like united the nation and it's like nobody saw color or nobody hated each other. It was just, you know, a good thing for the nation.
I think they, cause they got hockey players as opposed to getting actors for the team, and I think they all did pretty good. I was impressed, and and if you want to see an interesting documentary, there's one of the 30 for 30 is called Of Miracles and Men, and it tells the story of the Soviet team, which was really interesting because I've never heard that side, and it's, so if you want something interesting, check that out. It's really good. And okay. You know, just how it just kind of ruined their lives. So all right, my number 4 is kind of had to be on my list because I served my mission for my church in Indiana, and Hoosiers is it's such, not only does it do such a great job of an underdog team story, which is what you want in a sports movie, but it's does such a good job of showing sort of the community feeling of high school sports, particularly in Indiana and particularly about basketball. I had never seen anything like that until I lived there, and you'd have people that had no connection to the high school at all. Like, they were just like single, no kids, and they would attend every game. They were completely invested. They were like, they got the new coach. I don't know about this coach, the way they do in the movie. And it also is just some great performances from Gene Hackman, Barbara Hershey, Dennis Hooper is, I think he was Oscar nominated for the role. He's great as this guy who is this drunk, who is just this kind of toxic person, but he's actually trying. So like, it's really a really good performance. His son, you know, kind of hates him for good cause. But Gene Hackman's character can relate to him because he kind of had his own disgrace. He's trying to give him a second chance, but then he keeps failing him. And it's really, really good movie. And the soundtrack is amazing. They actually integrated the sound of the basketball hitting the court as part of the score, which was brilliant. It's great. So that's why I have it number 4. All right, Lisa, what do you have at number 4?
My number 4 is a little soccer movie called Mean Machine. And it's an English remake of The Longest Yard with Burt Reynolds, you know, in prison.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And so instead of it being American football, it's a big time, you know, football, English football, so soccer, player gets arrested and gets thrown in jail. And of course, just like in The Longest Yard, they put together a soccer team to try and play against the guards. And then it, you know, at the end, there's one big rowdy game, and it's also not safe, not Hallmark friendly.
Okay. I haven't heard of that one. That's exciting. I
outside of just any movies in general, movies and TVs, I just really appreciate the English sense of humor.
Yeah.
Their timing and their patience with their stuff, and so it appeals to me with the sports and the English humor, and I love it all. It's got Jason Statham as this really crazy, wild-eyed, like almost like a Hannibal Lecter type thing, where they keep him in solitary and they finally convince everybody to let him come out and be goalie. Ugh.
Wait, is he funny in it?
The whole thing is pretty funny. Like, it's supposed to be a comedy, and yes, okay. Yeah.
Wow, that would that be fun to see.
Really good.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I enjoy it.
All right, Georgia, give us your number fours.
Okay. So on the Disney Channel list, we have Brink, which if you know what Brink is, then you know why it's on there. It's just so good. He's skating and he has to earn money for his family because they have like a dog washing business or something. And then the really cool guys want to recruit him. And they're like, oh yeah, you're really good. And so he gets all the sponsorships and stuff, but he has his crew of friends who count on him, and man, he lets him down for a while. And he has a little sister who's like disappointed in him because he goes with the ones who have the money and with the ones who win all the time, but they are not good people. Of course you don't go with them. And in the end, of course he ends up with his friends, but the girl in the movie takes like a really hard spill at some point. She messes up her arm really bad. And I remember being super traumatized by that as a kid. Because I was like, oh my God, what did she do to herself? And I think she just scraped it. I don't even know if she broke it. But it was really very, very intense. And it's Eric Von Detten, who, I don't know if people know Eric Von Detten.
I do.
Oh my God. You do?
Yeah.
Oh, do you love Eric Von Detten?
I mean, it's kind of a tiny bit younger than me.
Oh no, not like that. No, I don't have a
No, no, I'm just girl, saying like that. No, I'm saying knowing it was just a that whole time is just a little bit younger than me, but I know who he is.
Because he's iconic for a certain age group. Honestly, you go Eric Von Detten, everybody knows. He voiced Sid in Toy Story, and he's like, oh my gosh, he's an icon. He just is. And so you go, he has his own movie, we love it, we support it always, so I recommend it.
Very good.
Theatrical release surprise is Fever Pitch, because
what else are you gonna do?
You know, because it's so good, and they were making it when the Red Sox were in the World Series, and they were like, oh, it's gonna be another losing year, and then they won everything 86 years, and they're together, and it's just, oh my God.
And they changed the ending.
They had to,
because they were like, what, holy cow, what's going on? And that
they
one felt is
it on the field really after they won, and it just, I watch it every time the Red Sox win, we watch that movie, and it's just, oh my gosh, it's like everyone does it, and you just go, oh, it's like, it's magic, because I don't know how, what are the odds that that would happen, and it's funny, and it's sweet, and it's Drew Barrymore, who we love, everybody loves Drew Barrymore, it's great, we love that movie. Yeah.
I love both the British and American versions, and I love the novel by Nick Hornby, he is so brilliant, and I just love how he debates kind of this two types of obsession that he shows. You've got her work obsession with work and his obsession, and neither one is really any more like laudable than the other, even society may say so, but I don't know, that I think is really, really good choice.
I only find one side relatable, but thank you.
Sam, real quick,
they let Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore celebrate on the field.
You should look it up because who was it? Was it Joe Buck who was like, what are they doing down there? It goes silent because it's the two of them down on the field kissing at the end of the movie. And they're like, it just goes quiet because it was actual World Series coverage. It's amazing.
Holy smokes. That's cool.
I love it.
Yeah, it was That is really cool. So
yeah, what are the players thinking? They're celebrating with each other, and all of a sudden you look over and you see Jimmy Fallon standing there making out with Drew Barrymore. How weird would that be?
Because I mean, the fact that a bunch of them were in it too, because they saw them at the restaurant earlier in the movie, and so which I assume they filmed before. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they were all on board with it. And like, yeah, we're gonna be in the movie. That's cool.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So Sam, what's your number four?
My number four is a little movie called Field of Dreams, starring Kevin Costner as a farmer in Iowa who all of a sudden starts hearing voices, which you think he would get it checked out, but instead he decides to build, you know, cut down a lot of his crop, and all the other farmers are just giving him dirty looks, thinking this guy's crazy, and well, he builds it, and then we get introduced to all these old-time baseball players, which when I saw, because this movie came out in 1989, so when I saw it, I loved baseball, but I didn't know any of the old-time players outside of, like, Babe Ruth. Like, I'd never heard of Shoeless Joe Jackson until that movie, so that was pretty cool, being introduced to that. But then you have James Earl Jones, you know, and the whole baseball, you know, just gives me the shivers all the time.
But, it's so good. You'll be seeing that in my list coming up.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Very good pick.
You have it? Because I didn't list that one. So now I feel bad.
I did not. Mainly because here's where I'll say something terrible. I can't put a Kevin Costner movie in my top fives.
I have a running joke with my mom about Kevin Costner, and I feel so bad that I did not put any Kevin Costner movies in there, but I'm going to stick with you then.
It's good that we all have different lists. There were so many I could have put. I love Chariots of Fire. That almost made my list. There were so many ones that I love. But
Farland USA is good. But yeah.
I love it. Very underrated, actually, mm-hmm. I think. Okay, my number three is a little film called Warrior that I love, about these two brothers that end up entering this mixed martial arts tournament. And the one is this, played by Tom Hardy, is this returning war hero, kind of, but he has this backstory that you find out later in the movie. And then Joel Edgerton is this more like this family guy, but he works as a teacher, but he's really struggling. He's going to lose his house. And so he decides to enter, even though his wife doesn't want him to, because he might get injured. And you kind of know going in that they are going to end up eventually facing each other in the rink, but it builds it so well. And then their dad, played by Nick Nolte, Oscar nominated performance, he's so great. And you can see how he is just barely starting to put his life back together, but he has been a pretty toxic person, but he's really trying. But like, especially the Tom Hardy character just hates him, and everybody kind of hates him, and he probably deserves that hate for what he did. But you can just feel that, like, he is going to fall. You know that it's going to happen. And when it does, it's so devastating. And it's really about these people more than the mixed martial arts per se, but I still thought, like, when he comes up, it's just kind of devastating, because you're like, you really don't want either of them to lose, because because you've seen their whole stories, both of them, and you're really attached to both of them. And I just think it's a beautiful movie. So I've had a three. So
okay, I need to put that one on my list too. Dang, Rachel.
Yeah, it's really good. Even if you don't think you like mixed martial arts, give it a shot. It's really well done. So Lisa, what do you have at number three?
I have at number three, you know, I'll be cliche and I'll put it on there, but I absolutely love Rocky.
Yeah.
There, put that on there. And do I need to tell everybody what it is, or does everybody kind of know what Rocky
is? The thing, though, is about Rocky is that the script is actually really great, and it's not just an iconic boxing movie.
But that's why. Okay, I saw it when I was younger, and I was like, okay, whatever. And then as I got older, and I watched it again, and I realized, oh my, because, you know, when you're younger, you don't care. I get older, and I'm like, wait a minute, Sylvester Stallone wrote this? what? And then you start getting into it more, and then you're like, wait a minute, he created this whole character? Like, this is all his brainchild, and then he started it. And then, of course, there was, like, a brief time in my life, like Motown, where I was obsessed with Motown and Rocky, and that's all I basically consumed for a while. And then the Creed movies came out recently. I mean, I'm just, it's taken hold of my heart, and I can't ever let it go.
Also, I think sometimes we as people, we sort of downgrade something if it's part of a series. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That, like, it becomes sort of more, I don't know, it's just sort of more mainstream, more less special, I guess, because it's part of a series. But really, that first Rocky movie is really, like, well written. It has really good characters that are unique, and the relationship between Adrian and Rocky is great. It's really, it's really good.
And he loses. And I know that sounds ridiculous to say, but I really love the whole, you know, realness of it. Just like, hey, sometimes you do all this, and you, I mean, I just, I don't know. It's all, it was all very gritty and rough, and I like it.
Yeah.
That's my only serious one.
Very good. And Sam, what were you going to say about Rocky?
Oh, I was just saying, didn't he only write that like in 2 days or something?
Yeah, something
like
that. It
was a really short amount of time.
It's amazing. And won Best Picture.
And he won and did he win the Oscar, right?
I don't think he won it, but I think he won it as far as, I think, well, it won Best Picture. I know that. And I don't know about screenplay. I'm not sure. But yeah, it won Best Picture. And I think deservedly so. It's a great movie. So, Georgia, what do you have at number 3?
Mine are not as hard hitting, but that's okay. On the Disney Channel list, I have a movie called Double Teamed. I don't know if anyone's heard of it.
I've heard of that one, at least.
Okay. It's a real life thing. It's about the Burge sisters, who were WNBA players, I guess, or maybe still are. I don't think they still are. But they're twins, and it's just so, it's for a Disney movie, especially like a Disney Channel movie, it's very like gritty and stuff, because they move and they have to move into sort of like a trailer area. But all the kids that they go to school with have money, so they don't want people to find out. And it's just, the girl gets, she hurts her ankle, the one who really, really, really wants to make it in basketball. And she's like going to play through it anyway. And it looks like she's in pain, which does not sell the movie very well. But I swear it's so good, because it's the one, it's like her life. And the other one wants to be in theater, but they're over 6 feet tall when they're in high school, and they're twins. And so they're like, no, you're both playing basketball. Like, you have to do it. And it's just incredibly well done. The acting's really good. The writing's really good. And it's, I know people make fun of Disney Channel movies and stuff, but it's so good. I highly recommend it.
Cool.
And I don't think it's any surprise, considering my shirt says there's no crying in baseball. My number 3 pick is A League of Their Own, because it's just, I mean, I don't know what else you need from a movie, but from a sports movie, definitely. It's so good. Do I need to explain it? Does everybody know it?
Everyone knows.
Okay.
That one's great.
Iconic. I mean, come on. I spent so long not seeing it. And I was like, oh, I'll get around to it. And when I finally watched it, I was like, oh my gosh. I could have been watching this for years. It's so good.
Yeah. It is a really good pick. Very good. All right. Sam, what's your number 3?
Number 3 is a gut-wrenching movie called We Are Marshall.
That's a good one.
Based off of it's a true story, 1970, I think. The Marshall plane carrying the football team crash, and like everybody died, the coaches, the players. And it's about the year after, about rebuilding the program, how a lot of people didn't want them to play that year. And Matthew McConaughey is in it, and, you know, he has to convince the NCAA to let freshmen play, because back then they weren't allowed to. And it's just about bringing it's healing the community through football. And it's very good. Very good.
Yeah, that's a really good
one. If you haven't seen it, watch it. But have Kleenex with you.
Yeah, I was going to say, have tissues with
you.
Yeah. All right. So my number 1 and number 2, they were a a chore to decide. I'm back and forth, back and forth. I love both these movies. Perfect scores. I think they're perfect movies. But my number two is Rudy. And I love Rudy so much. I mean, it's another movie, sports movie set in Indiana, which, of course, I'm going to like that part of it. But also, just the whole story. I'm talking about an underdog story. And I love the fact that his goal isn't to win. His goal isn't to be a star. He's not trying to be famous. He just wants to play for one. He just wants to wear that shirt. He wants to play for 1 second. Like, he just wants to be a player. And that's his dream. It's so small. And that's what makes it so easy to root for him. Mm-hmm. And just has so many iconic lines. And he's just such a hard worker, and you know, you just leave feeling like whatever small goal I have in my life or big goal, I can do it. And you know, just the iconic scene, like when they're putting the jerseys on the coach's shirt, and I mean the jerseys on the coach's desk, like that's such a great scene. And you know, the groundskeeper guy when he's like, "You're 5 foot nothing." Without a speck of athletic ability. And that's a great scene. Anyway, I love it. So, yeah, I have it at 2. What about you, Lisa?
I do like that movie, by the way.
It's the best.
I cry. Okay. Yeah. But I heard a lot.
Who doesn't?
I don't know how you don't like Rudy. I mean, come on.
It's crazy if you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, my number two is also Fever Pitch, but the English version, not the baseball.
Not the real one.
I can't know
how it is.
It's the original.
Yeah.
So it has to be the real one.
They're both really good.
They are both really good, especially, like, I love the baseball version when they get the season tickets delivered and they go through that whole thing that... I would be the same way. I'd be like, what are you gonna do for me? That's totally embarrassing. But the English one, I just love, it's got Colin Firth, it's got Mark Strong, that, you know, they're Arsenal fans, they're English Premier League fans, and they've lived and died, and it's basically been tortured their entire lives because of terrible, terrible seasons, and they finally get to the point. And what I really like about this movie is the end when you know, it's the big game, and Colin Firth has basically, in his relationship with his girlfriend in the movie, it's just basically exploded because of his obsession with this football team. And so he has to decide if he's going to chase after her or watch the last minute of this, like, intense football match where they might win and they might win the cup. And oh my God. And it's just this really funny scene where there's a lot of screaming and yelling, and they tackle each other watching it. And I don't know, I really enjoy that movie.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, bullshit. If you've only seen the American one, check out the British one. It's a little bit saucier, I'd say, than the English one. I mean, than the American one, but they're both really good.
It's a little bit more serious, but still funny.
Yeah, so very good.
You know where my loyalties lie.
All right, Georgia, what do you have at number two?
I said I was you know, not coming to play. So for Disney Channel, we have the always amazing Johnny Tsunami. Please tell me someone knows it.
I've heard of it.
Dear God, okay. It's so, oh my gosh, I see it about every movie, but it's so good. Johnny Tsunami is actually the grandpa, shocker, spoiler, because the grandpa is a surfer, and then Johnny is also the kid. And so he surfs, and his parents move to, like, Colorado or whatever, and Jet Jackson is there, and they become friends, and he becomes a snowboarder. And then he's like, oh, I hate it here. So he flies back to Hawaii by himself with his little friend, and it's just very dramatic, and it's, the skiers are terrible. Those kids who ski are just awful to him. Oh, no, those are, like, the, you know, the fancy kids, and the snowboarders are lame. And you go, yeah, sure. Obviously the snowboarders are cool. And Xenon is in it. And it was just like, it was a packed cast if you were a kid at that time. And it was so, go big or go home. I mean, that's Johnny Tsunami. So it's amazing. I love it. And then this, like you, Rachel, I had a really hard time narrowing any of these down. But since my number one has to be what my number one is, number two is The Natural with Robert Redford. Do you know it?
Nice. Yeah. No, it's a great movie.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
Okay. Because so many people, oh yeah, I don't know what it is. So good. Roy Hobbs. I know I say it all the time also, but Robert Redford is a Red Sox fan. And so it just, I didn't know that before I watched it. And so he kind of based the character on Ted Williams, which is why he wears number nine. And it just, I watched it first and then found all this out. And I was like, okay, that's why I love this movie so much. But when he's sitting there in the hospital bed and he just looks up and says, God, I love baseball. And it just, I can't even talk about it. I can't because it just makes me cry every single time. Yeah.
It's a really good one.
It's it's incredibly well written, and the ending is beautiful, and I just love it.
Yeah, very good. All right, Sam, what's your number two?
My number two is a 1989 film called Major League. One of the best baseball movies of all time, and this is actually probably in my list of all-time favorite movies. Pretty much, it's the owner of the Cleveland Indians dies, so his wife decides that she wants to move the team, I think, to Vegas. But in order for that to happen, attendance has to be so low, so she pretty much gets rid of the entire team and starts signing all these ragtag players, like Charlie Sheen's in prison. Dennis Haysbert is a Cuban who uses voodoo to bless his bats so he can hit home runs and hit the curveball. And it's also not a Hallmark-friendly movie. They go on a winning streak. They find out, you know, what she's up to. And so they go on a winning streak and actually make the playoffs. And, an underdog story, if you will.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's really, really funny. So good pick. All right. So number one pick, you probably already know because I spoiled it earlier, but it's Field of Dreams is my favorite. I think it's such a great movie. It's so hopeful. It's so, it's about healing and forgiving people in our lives. That realizing, they were doing the best with the tools that they had. It's about, kind of listening to that inner voice, even when it seems crazy, trying new things. It's such a beautiful picture of a marriage, I think, actually. I love the scene when his wife flips out about the propaganda and the at the PTA meeting. It's hilarious and great. And James Earl Jones, amazing. I think it's really touching, just this bond between he never got to forgive his father. He never got to say goodbye to his father. He was so bitter towards his father. And I think that the ending when he gets that moment is really touching and lovely. And I just love it. I think it's a great movie. I feel like it's the kind of thing that I don't know if we'd make anymore. I think we're too cynical as a culture now to make this movie. I love it. I got to see it on the big screen last year, and that was really an amazing experience. James Horner score is always going to be great. And that's my number one, Field of Dreams.
Good choice.
Good one.
But Lisa, what's your number one?
Well, my number one already got stolen. No, I'm just kidding. My number one is actually my actual favorite movie, like, at all, period. And so that would be Major League.
Oh,
hey,
and Sam right there. This movie, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen it. My husband and I have actually had entire conversations just with quotes from this movie. Like, it's just, I probably talk about it more than is socially acceptable, just throwing out lines here and there, and people are like, what? And I'm like, I'll walk into work, I'm like, do I look like a banker in this? And they're like, what are you saying? I'm like, never mind. But yes, Major League, that's it.
Very good.
Number one.
Very good. All right, Georgia, what's your number one?
Okay. Do you want me to do my honorable mentions first? Do you want to just get that out of the way?
We'll do honor mentions when I read. I'll do the, I'll do the ones on Twitter. And if they don't get mentioned, then we can a little bit. But if somebody, so anyway, we'll. So just do your, what's your number one, Georgia?
My number ones, so for Disney Channel, And I swear someone has to know this movie. It's Motocrossed.
Uh-huh.
Oh my God. Yeah. I swear to you. Sam, do you know it?
No.
Oh.
And we love Disney Channel. I don't know how I don't know these movies.
Yeah, I only know about it because you and Amber talk about Amber, it all the time.
Dear God, okay, this movie is like, oh my gosh, it should have been a theatrical release. That's how good it was. It's just amazing because it's Andy and Andrea. So it's Andrew and Andrea and their twins, and they ride their bikes, and Andrew breaks his leg, and they need to keep riding because they need to get the sponsors and the money and all that. And so Andrea also goes by Andy. It's based on Twelfth Night. She disguises herself as Andy, goes and rides. She's just as good as the guys, and Dean is adorable, and she gives up her fifth row NSYNC tickets to him to take the girl he likes to the NSYNC concert. And that is like, I need a minute, because that's like the most thing a person can do. It still gets to me every single time.
And I think it's an automatic spot in heaven if you give up your
exactly. Yeah. Oh my gosh, she was
the
so
ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It really, really is. I know he was cute, but she was giving them to him to take another girl to the concert, and it's just like, oh my gosh. And it's one of those movies I swear changed my life. Like, I just, oh my God, I wanted to have written that movie so badly. It was amazing. So I highly, highly, highly recommend it. I love it. It's the best. And number one, because I honestly just don't know how it isn't number one, and I hope it's not a downer, but Remember the Titans?
Yeah.
It's a good one. Just, it's one of those ones. We watched it in school, and I can't watch it all the way through anymore because I cry way too much, but it's perfect. I mean, it's exactly everything you need in a movie, and it's a sports movie, and little baby Ryan Gosling is super cute in it and everything, but yeah, it's perfectly done. I mean, it doesn't feel, you watch it and it doesn't feel like a movie, you know, it feels like real life, even though obviously it was based on it and everything. The ending is always makes me cry. I can't hear Ain't No Mountain High Enough without thinking of the movie, and it's just, it's one of those ones that impacts you for life, and it's incredible.
Yeah, Mr. Denzel can't do wrong in that one.
He's right,
really good. Yeah. All right, Sam, your number one.
Well, I really don't know what to say because my number one is Remember the Titans also.
Oh!
I mean, yeah.
Very good.
Georgia pretty much summed it up.
Yeah. I mean, very good.
Great movie.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what to say. Thanks a lot, Georgia.
Sorry, you can just cry with me if you want.
It ruined it.
That is really cool. Yeah, it's a really good one.
Good pick.
All right, so we actually got, I put it out on our Twitter, and we got I was actually surprised how many answers we got. We got a ton. So I'm going to read through a bunch real quick. So Amy Mick says, Bring It On is her favorite. League of Their Own, Rocky, 42, and Field of Dreams. Waiting in the Pumpkin Patch says Chariots of Fire, The Sandlot. That was painful for me to not include. I love Sandlot. The Rookie, Cool Runnings, Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown.
Dang it, I forgot about Cool Runnings. Oh
yeah, and I'm so holiday viewing. She has what I'm shocked was, I was so sure it would be on one of your guys' list. I took it off mine. Number one, The Cutting Edge. I do love The Cutting Edge. I think it is brilliant. And
that's all you talk about, Rachel.
I know. I thought for sure you would have it.
I've never seen it.
Oh no!
I know. It was the year I was born. What do you want me to do?
But it's really good. But I just
felt that.
Sorry.
Is that the toe pick?
Yes.
Is that
cutting
edge? Yes. Number six on my list. I just thought, for sure somebody else would pick it. And so I went with the more obscure on a clear day. But anyway, I really do love it. It's wonderful. But anyway, so she has Cutting Edge, number one. Friday Night Lights, the movie, is actually quite good.
That's a good one.
The TV show is brilliant. But anyway, Friday Night Lights, 3 Rudy, 4 Hoosiers, 5 Invictus. The Hallmark has Happy Gilmore as number one. And then Johnny Tsunami.
Emma.
Rocky, Remember the Titans, and Motocrossed. She also loves Creed and all the Rocky movies, except Rocky IV, she's like. Yeah. Nadia Alvarado Barrio says, Field of Dreams, Space Jam, which is hilarious to include. Mr. Baseball, Rudy, and A League of Their Own. Laura Ann Marie says, number one, Bend It Like Beckham, which I love. A League of Their Own, The Cutting Edge, Wimbledon, and Happy Gilmore. Serious Chick Becky says, Bull Durham, Hoosiers, League of Their Own. Million Dollar Arm, which is, that one's a crier. That one's really good. And Happy Gilmore is number five. Imanish Prabhakar says, Bend It Like Beckham, The Gold Trilogy, Million Dollar Arm, Southpaw, and Never Back Down. Michelle Benson says The Mighty Ducks is number one for her. Hey. She says, I refuse to pick between them. Friday Night Lights, Rudy, 61, and Miracle. And so there you go. And then Casey said from Hallmark My Words, she says, Remember the Titans, Facing the Giants, Mighty Ducks, Motocross, and We Are Marshall. Let's see here. Hallmark and Jess says The Wrestler, A League of Their Own, Remember the Titans, Horse Feathers, and Eight Men Out. And let's see, I think there were so many answers. But yeah, we got everything from, let's see. Yeah, a lot of Bend It Like Beckhams, a lot of Rockies, a lot of Cutting Edge, fun stuff. Some few, I guess, honorable mentions that I would have are I love Chariots of Fire. I do love McFarlane USA. I love Breaking Away, which is a great movie about these cyclists, and it's pretty funny. I love this little rom-com called Just Right with Queen Latifah. Actually, I really like. I love Angels in the Outfield. There's a great little movie about this baseball player from Cuba called Sugar. It's really good. And let's see what else hasn't been mentioned. I love White Man Can't Jump. I think that's really funny. Glory Road, I really like. There's an old TV movie called Brian's Song, which is a tearjerker that's worth checking out.
Yeah. Dang it, you just made me think of one that I should have had on my list.
Yeah. And then Pride of the Yankees is great with Gary Cooper, and you gotta love Caddyshack. It's hilarious. So those are some honorable mentions from me. So Georgia, let's hear your honorable mention.
Well, I don't have as many as you. I mean, I guess. I would say any Kevin Costner movie in general, just because I've seen McFarland USA, but are there a lot of them? Okay. I've seen most of, but I've never seen the whole thing. So I did not feel right about putting him on the list, any of them, because I've never seen them all the way through. It's Kevin Costner. Take Me Out to the Ball Game. You've seen it.
That's a good
super
one.
Funny. I have Air Bud, which I couldn't list because of the one where he leaves him on the island with the pudding cup. If you've seen it, I watched it just to make sure. It still makes me cry, and it does. And it just makes me cry in a way I don't want to, so I was like, I'm not including it. But it's a dog playing basketball, so I have to name it. Like Mike, I always really enjoyed.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if people watched it. Angels in the Outfield, of course. MVP, Most Valuable Primate, was so dumb, but it was so good. I watched it in the urgent care after I'd broken my arm, and I was like, it was so comforting. Kevin Zegers is in all these movies, and it's just, he's like the MVP. So that was really great. It's the champ who plays hockey. And then you have the rom-coms that you could list, like you have Never Been Kissed, where they're on the baseball field. You know, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, they go to the basketball games. You have On the Line, which I only want to include because it's in sync, but they talk about Cubs games and they go to Cubs games. And it kind of like, so I had so much trouble narrowing it down because I didn't know exactly what counted. And then Rip Girls, because Rip Girls is fantastic, but there isn't a competition, so I didn't include it. She's just learning how to surf.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's all of mine.
Very good. Anybody else have any honorable mentions you wanted to share?
I do.
Lisa? All right.
Yes, the one that you made me think of, because you said TV movie, and I cannot believe I didn't think of this, because one of the best football movies ever created was a TV movie called Quarterback Princess with Helen Hunt and Daphne Zuniga.
That was good.
Yes, and Sammy Mehta, this female quarterback who plays in high school, and they finally come around and just support her, and it's amazing. And there's a little bit part with Tim Robbins. Yes! Shout out for Quarterback Princess.
Nice.
And then my honorable mention is Karate Kid, because hello.
Oh, yeah.
Great
one. So. Yeah. Yeah. Did you have any, Sam, that you wanted to share? Any honorable mentions? Or you?
Sure. I got For Love of the Game.
Oh, good one.
That's a good movie. Little Big League, The Rookie, and The Natural was on my list.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, and I also do have a soft spot for The Blind Side. I like The Blind Side. I think Sandra Bullock.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so I think we covered everything. There's so many good sports movies. It's amazing. So this has been really fun. I've had a blast talking with you guys about these. I really appreciate you guys being up for doing this just random podcast. And so let us know in the comment section or on Twitter what your favorites are, what you think of our list. And maybe if you watch something you haven't heard of before from our list, then let us know what you thought. That'd be fun. So, Lisa, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Girl Gone Hallmark.
Great. And Georgia, what about you?
I'm on Twitter at Georgia Speech.
Great. And Sam, what about you?
You asked me this last time and I didn't know. You think I'd be prepared this time. I think I'm just at Hallmark Cubby.
Yeah. You got it.
I think. Is that it? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
At Hallmark, hubby.
So I will put all that information in the description section. You guys want to check it out. You can follow me at Rachel's Reviews on iTunes and on YouTube and all of our social media. And you can check that out. I would love it. And make sure you're following the podcast, the Hallmark Reviews Pod, on all over social media and everywhere. And if you can put in your reviews on iTunes, we really appreciate it. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube if you're watching there. And yeah, look forward to hearing your favorites. And thanks so much, you guys. This was really fun.
Thanks.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.